Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time, and guess what? My name is Rusty. I am super pumped up today. I have some amazing people on the show today, and I just got off being a guest on TruthSeekerRadio.com. Check them out. It was a great interview, and we went way over. So poor Reverend Corby is out there in virtual land waiting for me to tell her what number to dial in on, and that would be 929-477-1165. Again, 929-477-1165. And I'm super excited about having Reverend Corby on. She just has this vibe and this fearlessness and this excitement to her. If you look at her photos, she's just a hot ticket. I'm super excited. And she is a survivor of breast cancer. Go figure, not once, not twice, but three times. Poverty, abuse, life-threatening illness, she is my kind of girl. We have a lot in common, and as soon as she dials in, we can check it out. Today is back-to-back with absolutely everything. I am running around like a chicken with my head cut off, so please, please, please bear with me. I feel like I've had 12 cups of coffee, and I really haven't. That's how exciting it's been. I just feel so blessed to be a part of this space and doing what I love. Let's see if she dials in. But anyway, you can go and check out, while we're waiting for her to dial in, go check out Corby, C-O-R-B-I-E. I can't pronounce her last name, so I'll spell it M-I-T-L-E-I-D. And she has written a book called Cross the Bridge from Fear to Fearless and Fly. So, totally excited to talk to her. All right, 929. Oops. 929-477-1165. There we go. She didn't see the call number. She's probably on her phone. All right. Yeah, it was really a lot of fun to be on Truth Seekers radio podcast today and just talking about life and the universe and spirituality and getting good with yourself. I don't think we have a really healthy relationship with other humans, and I don't think we have a healthy relationship with money. And so that was what it was all about. So definitely go and check out truthseeker.com. And I didn't wear any makeup, so today's makeupless day, and I'm happy with that. I'm beautiful. Reverend Corby, is that you, my love?
Finally, yes. I thought Mercury might have been retrograde in extra time or something.
Well, tomorrow is a full moon. I have goblins, and I was in the middle of I was a guest on a radio show prior to this one, and my computer died right in the middle of the radio show.
Nice.
I think it is
nice.
Here sooner.
Well, here
been
we
one
are.
Of those days.
So
we are. So who are you? What do you do? And what inspires you to get up every morning?
Okay. What I call the 30-second elevator speech. I have been a reader, a psychic since I was 18. I'm 65. It's my full-time job, 40 weekends a year on the road, coast to coast and into Canada. Books, radio, television, blah, woof. I do not believe that my aura don't stink. I'm not one of those. I get to get up every morning instead of have to get up every morning simply because I live the examined life. I've dealt with divorce and cancer and poverty and abuse, and it's always, okay, I'm getting through this. What's the lesson, and how can I pass it on? It's that simple.
So I love how you said I'm not one of those. I think that perspectively, when you go through as much as you and I have gone through, and as deep of the story as it felt going through those processes, you learn to be really humble. Do you feel like you became more humble after all of that?
Yes, but what it was is when you realize you are here to teach, and so you agreed to go through all of this, not because you're bad, not because you have bad karma, but because you want to be as authentic as possible for those that don't know how to deal with it, you just open yourself up and say, I'm the tube. It is coming through me. It ain't me. The teachers that believe it's them are the ones who write the same thing in 42 different books and tell you to go on a cruise, and now they're going to tell you the same thing, but it's in person, so you owe them more money. No. We have to pass this on. We remember how much pain we went through, and we don't want others to do the same. It's that simple.
I was just actually talking about that similar ideology with the person before you. We are examples. We're constantly being watched, and not in a creepy, weird stalker way, but, you know, I'm a mom, I have a kid. She constantly watches my reactions. How do I handle situations? And that's a lot of pressure sometimes, but I know that I'm a teacher. I know that I'm an example. I know that through my experience, I'm able to articulate a different way of hearing the story. And not necessarily that I'm going to charge you money for it, but in the sense that I'm hoping that you gain more strength through your journey for it. I can just cheer you on from the sideline. I can't actually go through your story for you. And I think it's really powerful when you get to that place where you realize that your role is just to teach and to carry the lessons forward and the strategies forward so that you can be more participatory in this amazing universe.
Yes. And the crazier the world gets, the more we're needed. You know, the thing that I tell everybody is you may not like what's going on in the world, but you volunteered to be here now, which means that you have either work to do or you need to be of service and some help. So get on with
it. Right, you're invested in this like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? True.
Absolutely.
Truly. Now, you were a young age of 65, you said. And I want
to... Yeah, next month.
Happy birthday. Mine's in a couple of weeks. I'm really excited. I'll be hitting the 44 mark. And I feel so young.
Master number.
And... Huh?
Master number,
what?
Isn't it?
Oh,
is 44? You said 44. That's a master number.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. It's on 221, and I thought 21 was the master number. I didn't realize 44 was the master number.
Yes.
But what's really cool about this process of gaining another year of experience is I learned so freaking much. And you're a little older than I am, and my curiosity lies in when did you? Because it's a real taboo, especially when you were a child, because I know it was coming out of taboo when I was growing up. When did you find out that you were a psychic medium? Like, how did that process unfold for you? Because, again, for years and years and years, it was a taboo.
Well, when I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family. And instead of thinking, ooh, that's scary or ha, 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 I thought, and your point is, I knew there was magic in the world and I wanted some. Fast forward to 1973, I was a senior in high school working at Spencer Gifts part-time, and they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck. So I bought it. I mean, we were all hippies then. We had elephant bells and fringe jackets and cards. 5 years later, everybody else was moving on to roller skates and disco balls. I kept reading because it was fascinating. And I kept wanting to make sure I was a clear channel for the info. All of a sudden, in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's basically when the universe handed me my draft notice and said, greetings, you're working for us. I did it part-time until 9/11. As my husband and I watched the towers burn, I said to him, I'm going to need to do this full-time. People need to know that there's something else out there. And his response was, I believe in you, go do it. So for a year.
I love your husband.
Good guy. For a year, I continued to work as an executive recruiter for a woman who threw files at my head when she didn't like what I was telling her. But once I was sure I could make a living at this, I, as I cheerfully say, virtually peed on her desk and left. And I've never looked back.
See, and just your vibration and your tone and the way you're presenting yourself, you're a very strong woman. And I love that. Your husband clearly was very supportive of...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry? I was going to say your husband clearly was very supportive of you.
He is. He is. And it's not that he does the same thing himself. For 23 years, he was museum director for a Revolutionary War site. He dealt in verifiable historical facts. I deal in WikiWoo. But we both understand and believe what each other does. So you can be supportive that way. And I could not have done this without him.
Aww. So tell us about your journey through the big C word. I mean, I feel you on that. That's a tough one. But having it three times, Jiminy Crickets.
Well, the first thing I will tell people is I didn't fight cancer because what you fight, fights back. And I am not a survivor because a survivor, you hear that and you think they're hanging on by teeth and toenails. I am a cancer dancer. I found out how graceful I could be under pressure. I avoided getting my toes stepped on, and I got off the dance floor in one piece. Now, before the first bout, I mean, look, I had a Dolly Parton figure, 44 triple D, tiny waist and hips. So there you go. The first bout was ductal carcinoma in situ in 1989 when I was acting in New York. I had four lumpectomies and radiation at Sloan Kett and figured, okay, we're done. In 2000, I got Paget's, the skin cancer, from the radiation that they did.
No,
they took that off. So they were misshapen, they were scarred, they were uneven, but they were still there. Year and a half after I find Carl and Miriam, they say, okay, you have microcalcifications. They're a second primary, but it's three strikes, you're out. We're taking the boobs, we're taking the ovaries. You're going to go from this Dolly Parton figure with a libido of a 17-year-old boy to a fat fire plug with permanent side effects. And because of all the damage we're going to do for you inside, you'll never have sex again. Suck it up. See you next. Boom.
Oh, no.
Now, I went home and cried for 24 hours. I am normal. But then I said, I know what the rules are. I have to have three reasons to be okay with this. First one is you don't have them, you can't get cancer there. The second one was they're not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year, and every woman listening knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And third, great, implants, I'll be perky till I'm 93. I'll deal with this. I walked out of the hospital in 3 days after a double mastectomy and reconstruction, 6 hours, shopped for a bathing suit in five. That was 2004. I am still married to Carl. I had to re-engineer the marriage. Yes, it was. But it
was. You're breaking up, honey.
Okay, is this any better?
Yeah, just go back to restructuring your marriage. And then you went out.
Yeah, I mean, we were both angry at first. That's normal. But as Carl said, well, were they gorgeous? Yeah, but I married you, not them. And so we have understood that marriage is a work in progress forever. Been together 20 years. This will be our 18th anniversary, and we're still working on it.
Yeah.
So.
That's very cool.
I have a feeling, if your listeners can handle it, you're breaking up too. Let me call you back on a landline in about 30 seconds so that we can get all of this heard. Is that right? Done.
Yeah, absolutely. Right here. So we have a hot ticket, Reverend Corby Metlid. I think that's how you say it. And I just love her. Don't you love her? Isn't she just yummy? She's got a lot of power behind her and a lot of absolute education. I mean, geez, what a tough stuff to go through. But she's got it going on. Got it going on.
I am.
All right,
much
my friend,
better.
I think that's
much
you.
Better.
Yes. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I was saying that you're quite a delicious person. You're tough and you're good, and wow. I mean, you have to really be good with who you are in order to just be able to trudge through it, because you really don't have a choice, but sometimes we can do it without ruining all of our mascara, right?
Well, my life has always been about change. My parents were very dysfunctional. My mother was cross-addicted with barbiturates and spent all of her life telling me how she was wonderful and I didn't deserve her. So you had to be strong from there. I basically re-raised myself a lot. But it's also one of the reasons why I'm not very good with people with pity parties. Because
right.
all, you know, this does not mean that, you know, a woman in Iraq who's in burqa and who won't leave the house because she knows she'll be flogged. No, that's not, you should go out and do that. But right now, if you are in a situation where you can deal with things, go ahead and deal with them. Don't do the victim mentality. That's poisonous, and you will not get the strength that you would have otherwise. Doesn't mean don't ask for help. But victim mentality is, this wasn't fair, it was done to me, you should all be sorry for me and help me and give me anything I want. That'll never work.
No. No, but I do think that you need to express and be human. Like you said, you know, you cried for 24 hours, and if that's your time, then that's awesome. Do you need to wallow in it and live there forever? No, absolutely not. That's not helping anybody. But you do need to, you know, even when a butterfly pops out of its cocoon, you cannot tell me that butterfly is not in pain. That must hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's the process of transformation. And, you know, that's our reality, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I would never say to someone, you can't be emotional about it. But
okay.
At the same time, don't get stuck there. You know, it's
right,
a funny thing. A lot of people, their whole identity is, I had cancer. Not, I'm a mother. Not, I've got a PhD in chemistry. Not, I run a rescue center. It's, I had cancer. They're living in their victimhood. Now, have I had cancer? Yeah, 3 times. I've done the cancer dance. But you never hear me identify myself that way. Unless I use it in a teaching moment. I concentrate on what I am, what I love, what I want more of.
I think you'll appreciate this. I always say when people, you know, when I enter your room or the space of other people, I'm like, your second wish is here. You know, it's not an abused child. It's not rape person. It's not, you know, homeless person. It's your second wish is here because you know you want me.
That's delicious. That just is.
It is delicious. You know, we're going to go through stuff. This is going to be thrown at us, and there are days where you just don't, you want to get out of bed, and I feel that. I've been there. But you got to find corners that push you to go and take that step.
There's a wonderful methodology that I use, and I learned it at a place called the Option Institute in Massachusetts. I don't know that they're there anymore. This may be their last year open. But they teach that there are 3 questions to ask yourself. What are you X about? And X can be depressed or upset or angry or scared, whatever. Why are you X about that? And we can mostly figure that out. When we look at ourselves and say, I don't know, the key is to say, if you had to guess. Because if we know we're just guessing, we can usually come up with something. But the 3rd question we never ask ourselves is, what do I think would happen if I stopped being X about that? Before my double mastectomy surgery, I went there and worked with one of their founders, Samara Kaufman. And we looked at every single question, all the things I was scared of. What if I wake up on the table and, you know, they didn't put me down far enough and I'm hearing all the stuff and I'm feeling all the pain? What if I die on the table? What if they close me up and say there's nothing we could have done?
What if they put me through so much chemo and radiation I want to die? What if Carl left? I had to look at each one of those, acknowledge the fear, and then figure out a way to walk through it on the other side, no matter what it cost. And not everybody has to go and you know, do a session like that, but those are three of the most useful questions you can ask yourself anywhere, and even use it on your kids. How many times does a kid say how he feels, and we immediately negate it, dismiss it, tell him he's stupid? We don't even ask him why. And if we ask him why, we tell him why it shouldn't, instead of just offering him, Johnny, I know you're upset because somebody bullied you today. What do you think would happen if you stopped being upset about that? Then you give the kid so much room to be better, stronger, wiser, and figure out another way to handle his life.
What I love about that is the approach. You know, I wrote my blog post last week as the most dangerous person. And mm-hmm. I believe I'm the most dangerous person in the world. And here's why.
And why?
Because I have nothing to lose. I am so grateful for all that I have that I don't see loss. I see it as a transition. I see it as a movement. I see it as I've experienced so much that all I can do for the rest of my life is live in gratitude and beauty, because loss doesn't exist, right? And,
brilliant.
And, huh?
Brilliant.
Yeah, so I think that I'm the most dangerous person in the world because it's just about gratitude now. And when you change that perspective and you sit down and, you know, I wrote a letter to my grandchildren that I don't have, and I wrote a letter mm-hmm. to myself as a 5-year-old girl who's being sexually abused. And it was really, really powerful to have those conversations and to think outside of the situation.
When you're in the situation, you're in so much pain and you're just embroiled in the emotions, that the magic of being able to step away from it, not dismissing it, but able to look objectively, makes all the difference in the world.
Well, and I think it demonstrates how much you really do love yourself. I don't think we tell ourselves how much we love ourselves enough until something really bad happens, because you got to get good with you, or you're just not going to get through, you know? And we all want to get through. There's always an ornery side to us.
Yes. Too often we're told everybody else comes first. I know a lot of people out there are going to recognize they've been told, well, if you don't love yourself, no one else will love you. It's not that. If you don't love yourself, you will never believe it when somebody else says, I love you, and you'll turn it away to the point where they get exhausted and they say, fine, if that's the way you want it. We have to love ourselves first in order to believe that love is out there for us at all.
Well, and quite frankly, you're only born to yourself and you only die with yourself, so you better make that
mm-hmm.
long-term relationship work, right?
Yes.
If you don't,
yes,
that's a miserable life.
I agree.
So this is a great place where you get to tell everybody where they can reach out and find more about you.
I'm kind of hard to avoid. For one thing, you can go to my website, CorbyMitlide.com. You can find me on Facebook, Fire Through Spirit. You can find me on Twitter at CorbyMitlide, on Instagram at CorbyMitlide, I think on Pinterest at CorbyMitlide. I'm there. And as I say, it's my full-time job, and it isn't just telling you, you know, if you're opening a salon, wait until August and fire the redhead. No. I do a lot of counseling work as well. So if you have a part of your life you're trying to kick to the curb, that's where I come in and I say, okay, what can we do together?
What kinds of tips and tricks do you offer or advise, like your top three tips and tricks to get through that storm, whatever that storm is for that person?
Number one, no, you didn't deserve it. Believe that with all your heart and soul. You did not deserve this. It is simply something in your life that, like a storm, has to be gotten through to the other side. Number two, accept kindnesses from people. Don't try to be so goddamn strong that you think, I can't accept it. If someone says, you're exhausted from chemo, can I clean your house? Say thank you. Take it. And the other thing is to remember, on the other side, you now have the word volunteer invisibly tattooed on your forehead. Just as people reached out to you for with comfort, with chicken soup, with belief in you, reach out to others. It's when we reach out to others that life becomes incredibly meaningful.
I am a strong believer that we have isolated ourselves from each other and developed this kind of fear-based relationship with humans and this obsession with things. We've kind of replaced our interactions, our hugs, our kisses, our conversations, our love notes with physical things that just can get drop shipped, and there's not even a card attached to it that says, hey, I was just thinking of you. How do you combat that in your own personal life? Because you are like me, you know, we didn't have computers and cell phones and things like that when we were kids. We actually skinned our knees, got our ass beat, stayed out until past dark and then got in trouble for that. We built forts. Mm-hmm. Kids don't do that anymore. So how do you translate having more of a human connection versus a materialistic connection to people?
I make sure I do it. I never had kids. I was born without the mommy gene. Okay, I often say that kids are like exotic plants, fascinating for me to observe, but don't give me one. I'll kill it in 2 weeks, too much food, not enough water. Boom. But at the same time, when I'm out, I will connect with a stranger. I will compliment what they're wearing. I will, if they look like they're having trouble, I will ask how I can help. And I don't need to keep that connection with them. I really don't. But I know that I will look them right in the eyes, and I will be there with them in that moment. And you have no idea what your action will do to perhaps change their life. It could be the one person who reaches out when they were ready to end it, and it was you. Simply because they dropped their scarf, and you picked it up, and you wrapped it around their shoulders, and you smiled. Tiny things. You do not all have to be Elton John and do $500 million for AIDS. You don't. One gesture.
And as a truthful story on my end, that was the case for somebody who was getting ready to kill themselves. I just happened to be there, and whatever energy, whatever universal alignment happened, they just started crying, and I hugged them. Total stranger, never saw this person before in my life, never saw him again. Mm-hmm. But whatever they needed, they got. And so kindness is huge. Respect is huge. And you don't have to be flashy about things. And I so agree. I prefer to do it kind of in secret. Like, it's my little secret. And mm-hmm. I enjoy paying for people's stuff. I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination. but I like to do things for other people and not even be known that I did it. That was grammatically incorrect, but don't text me about that. But you know what I'm saying.
I get it.
I think there's more power that way than being all flashy and having concerts and things. Not to say that that's a bad thing. It's not my thing.
What I love to do is what I call Gorilla Starbucks. That's where I'll pay for mine. And I have a Starbucks card. And it's filled with $30. And I just hand it to the barista and say, I'm going to go sit over here. You're going to use that card until it's out. So people don't even know that it's me that's buying them the stuff. And the barista always says to them, pay it forward.
Yep,
and
exactly.
I delight at watching the faces. That's my reward, is watching the faces.
Exactly right. Yeah. Oh, God, you are a sister from the same cloth. I love it. Love, 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 love it. If more people would do that, you know how many people would just be on high vibration and smiling? It feels good when somebody does something nice for you, even if you don't know who that was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, so fine, you look upstairs and you say thank you, but then you pass it forward. That's what you are meant to do.
Amen. So what would you like to spend the next 18 minutes talking about, young lady? The floor is yours.
Well, since we were talking about how to get through stuff, I'm going to point people to my book, Clean Out Your Life Closet. Look, we all buy self-help books. Face it, we do. But they all say, here's the answer, do what I say, and they all, you know, it'll all get better. And that's crazy. No author has lived your life. And so when I did this book, I said, I'm going to go from that preface. Clarity, adaptability, simplicity, and making friends with stress. It's in there. And I tell you about some of the stupid things I did, maybe some stories about some clients, and then I give a couple of suggestions. But then, at the end of each chapter, I've got open-ended questions where you can take what I wrote and make it specifically fit your life. So by the end of the book, if you've done all the chapter-ending questions, that's your personal manual. No one else will read it the same way. And I have gotten, more people have said, why have another book done this? This is amazing. It's just that I hate being dictated to. So I pass that on to you. I'm not dictating to you, but I'm giving you stuff. Does it work? Terrific. Doesn't work? Ignore that chapter. I don't mind. And the feedback has been really, really wonderful.
So give us one. Throw out one line. We'll play.
Okay. Finding happiness with what you have right now. Okay? The things I tell you that will be your happiness ingredients: be in the moment, attitude of gratitude, Martian curiosity, no rules, just right, thinking outside the box, and not attached to outcomes.
I absolutely, ridiculously love that. And it's so true. And I think if we just put that on a little index card, just what the little list that you gave, put it on an index card and stick it in your purse or in your wallet, or, you know, I probably illegally, but I'm probably not supposed to share this, but I stick my little index card right where it shows you how fast you're going in the car, you know, the little speedometer, because I don't really care.
You didn't tell me, I didn't hear it. How's that?
Right, exactly. That was, you know, 200,000 people didn't hear that. But I live in Florida, and at this point in my life, you know, I'm borderline mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I'm retired. I do have bills to pay, a lot of them, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, I'm not going to speed. I'm not in a hurry. I have a job. I do have to get there on time, but that's about it. We're good. So that's why I don't care about looking at the speedometer. But I always have something there to remind me to just be present, because we lose that. And I love that little list. I think that's a great little emotional shopping list to keep you grounded.
Now, I need to explain Martian curiosity, though, because that's not something that a lot of people would understand. And
go for it.
Thinking like a Martian doesn't mean running around with a scrubbing brush on my Roman-style helmet and big sneakers. That's Looney Tunes. But for me, it's observing the world like I'm an explorer from another planet. Here's an example. I'm sitting across from you, and you have water running out of your eyes. Some people might say, why are you crying? But a Martian would look at you and go, why is there water coming from your eyes? And the Martian would be right, because maybe your contact lenses are bugging you, or maybe you have allergies, or maybe there's an emotional basis, because the Martian doesn't prejudge it. He is open to absolutely every answer. And when we're open to absolutely every answer, it usually ends up a lot better than we thought it would be.
One of my favorite characters is Marvin the Martian, by the way. And I do like foil hat.
I
got the reference. I did. I was kind of giggling. And I like that. I like the fact that you encourage and support exploration, because there's always two or three answers. There's always, the truth's always in the middle, as they say. You know, there's always two sides of the coin. We've heard this for thousands of years as a species, that sometimes we are really good at jumping to conclusions rather than having true insight.
Yes,
do you find with your gift giving, I mean, you have a very wonderful gift. Do you find with your gift that it's harder for you not to jump because spirit's telling you, oh, well, this is blah, 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 blah?
Actually, I have trained myself not to. One of the things that drives me crazy are what I call drive-by psychic shootings. That's when somebody walks up to you in the frozen peak. Drive-by psychic shootings. Somebody like the Long Island medium walks up to you in the frozen peas and says, "Excuse me, but I have a message from your Aunt Doris. Your back tire is bald and going to die next week if you don't get it fixed." Just telling you, walks away. Who the freak are you? Get out of my face. That is such. It's why people are afraid of psychics.
That's violating. That's violating,
and,
though.
You know,
like, I don't want you in my personal space, man.
Please. And when, you know, hands-on healers, they're notorious. If someone clearly has a headache, I will say to them, look, I do some hands-on healing. I might be able to help you with the pain. May I? If they say no, it's no. What drives me crazy are the ones that just reach for you, let me fix it, and you say no, and they say, no, really, and I have to yell at them, God damn it, get away from me. And they go, you're not very love and light. I said, you ignored my boundaries. No is no. So don't ever, ever let somebody roll you like that. Boundaries are permitted. No is a fabulous idea when you want to say no. So, sorry, you just hit one of my hot buttons.
No, honestly, I'm still laughing at the drive-by psychic shooting because it's true. And I've seen it most of my life, and I know in my heart of hearts that these people, their intentions are good. But I don't want you jumping in the shower with me either. And it's kind of really not personal, isn't it? It's like
it really is. And people need to understand psychics do have boundaries and psychics do have manners. You know, it's I don't go reading your head as you walk by. But at the same time, you know, if somebody stops in front of my booth at a psychic expo and says, well, tell me something you could know about me and then I'll have a reading with you. I smile and say, I'm sorry, I don't roll over and fetch either. And I turn my back and they don't get a reading.
Yeah, that's kind of rude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I know.
I like to, the few psychics that I've personally gone to didn't know about me, didn't know who I was, didn't know my name, didn't, you know, and validated for me when they told me things that nobody actually would know other than myself. That was a validation, and we're really good friends, and I love them to death because they're authentic. But there are quite a few people who are out there that are not authentic, and they're just playing the game. And I think that's where those of us who are not gifted can be jerks.
Well,
the
yeah,
gifted, you know
those are the
mean?
Ones that I call the Madam Hoo-Ha's and the Swami Swelandas, you know. They're the ones that are fake gypsies and go, oh, you have a family cutter. How many in your family? Four? You have dog? $50 family members, $25 for dog. He's small. We fix. I mean, I've had to deal with a woman that got that.
Oh, my God, yes. I like Zoltar, the little thing in the mall that you put 50 cents in and he tells you you're going to be rich.
Yes, he's now on life insurance commercials or something. He's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. And I appreciate the fact that people want to be, they want to kind of discern, but I think there's a better way of weeding out the frauds from non-fraudulent people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
Yes, there is. In fact, if people go to my website and they sign up for the newsletter, Flight Patterns, they're automatically going to get an ebook from me called Psychic Answers. And it's got two components, Psychics 101, The Good, The Bad, and The Cleos, and Psychics 102, How to Have a Great Psychic Experience. And I use mnemonics. That's, you know, PTA is Parent Teacher Association. That's what it is. To learn about psychics, the word is psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C. Professionalism, sharing references, you're in charge, charges, here I can fix anything for a price, inappropriate actions, and communication. To when you've decided you do want a reading, then it's answer, A-N-S-W-E-R. And again, it goes through mnemonics the same way. Of course, I don't have them as memorized. I have to look. I'm such a bad girl.
That's okay. We like naughty.
Yeah, good. All right, yes. Accept responsibility for your part in the session. No pop quizzes, no comparisons. State your intentions clearly. Widen your horizons. Evaluate your information and respond to the universe. Don't sit in front of me for a 15-minute reading and just say, oh, I don't know, just tell me what you see, if what you really want is career. Because no matter how fast I talk, I can only get from A to maybe G in your life encyclopedia. And if what you want is down at R, you're going to say, oh, she was lousy, she didn't tell me anything. Please, give me a break, I'm human.
I love you. I'm in love with you.
I have been
told
my God,
I'm funny. So
yes,
true.
I've been told that I am the psychic Mrs. Maisel, so there you are.
I was thinking more along the lines of psychic RuPaul.
Oh,
got that same kind of
sass. I'm honored to be compared to RuPaul, but he looks much better than Blonde than I do.
I'm absolutely, you have that perfect sass. I love it. So, yes, but can you do me one favor? Because aside from, you know, psychics and all of that, I think that list actually applies to every aspect of your life. So do you mind just reading the list one more time?
You bet. And we're talking about answer, correct?
Yes.
That's the one that starts with accept responsibility for your part in, it says the session, but let's say life. Accept your responsibility for your part in your life. No pop quizzes. No comparison. State your intentions clearly. Hey, universe, this is where I want to go. Widen your horizons. Success in business, you may have wanted a reality show, but if instead you become a very popular teacher regionally, that's fine. Evaluate your information. Respond to the universe.
I love that. I love that. So for myself personally, what I took away from that list is exactly how I try to practice my life every single day. I try to have ownership of my actions, ownership of my words. And I swear like a sailor, and I'm naughty, but I own that. You know?
That's okay.
And it's okay. It's just who I am. You know, and I do feel so strong and adamant about people sitting down and shutting them up. Just shut up. Sit down and observe. Sit down and look. Sit down and hear. Because you're going to get answers. And it's not, you know, your grandmother from 15 generations ago might not be the one giving you the answers, but the poor person walking across the sidewalk who needs your help assisting them walking them across, that might be your answer, whatever that may mean to you. But if you're quiet enough on a regular basis to really tune in and tap out of the bullshit, yes, you can swear on this show, by the way. I felt you. You're like, I want to. You're going to be much more of a powerful individual. And I don't mean magic tricks, Harry Potter power. I mean an authentically powerful person. And it's just beautiful, isn't it?
It's profound. You know, I said right in the beginning, I wanted to find magic in the world. There is. There is. And you don't need a unicorn wand to do it.
But they're nice.
But if you're open... You will see things you would never have believed you get to see.
I've lived in Florida for 3 years now, and one of the things that I absolutely cannot get enough of, I lived in New England for – I grew up in Florida for a few years, lived in New England for a few years, and came back down. And one of the things that was so awe-striking, and I think you'll really appreciate this, Reverend, is when I hit the Carolinas, cruising, because I like to drive everywhere. I like to be observant to everything. So I'm cruising down the highway, and I'm in the Carolinas, and all of a sudden there's this buzzing, like crazy, insane buzzing, almost like standing next to one of those big power, electrical power boxes that run the whole city kind of thing. And you know that buzzing?
Yes.
And so I'm getting into South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and it's so loud. And I'm like, why is it so loud here? Oh, I'm in Jurassic Park. That's right. It's all these beetles and the lizards and this and that. And it's really fascinating to be quiet enough to hear that much of nature. And that's when it really struck me the importance of quiet time. So the beautiful aspect of my adventure here is my willingness and openness to have that quiet time. I see rainbows every single day for 3 years. Who gets that privilege?
Not many.
Not many, because not many people are looking. And just the other day, we moved into this new space, and just the other day, there was a triple rainbow over my space, and I'm going, oh, thank you, it's so exciting. And it was right at sundown, so you had the oranges and the layers, and then this triple rainbow, and I'm like, I wish everybody could feel what I feel right now, seeing this beauty.
It's when you wish you were a painter. I adore color. My drug of choice is words, so I would make the time to write one delicious paragraph so that a blind person might get what that was, or with that ringing silence, the deaf person might get it. Because someone else may not have that experience, but we can share it with them. If we internalize it, we own it, and then we deliberately try to put it out and offer it as a gift to whoever else can see it or hear it.
It's beautiful. I think it's absolutely exciting and beautiful. And I love that it's your drug of choice. I think music's my drug of choice, because I'm just like a little Muppet flopping around everywhere. but I love it. You know, I have so much fun, and I have absolutely no coordination, and I don't care. My vibration just rises, and it's beautiful.
Music is the language that needs no words. And everybody can understand it. It's the universal translator.
Amen to that. We are running out of time. I did not even realize how much time has been taken up by all this wonderfulness, because you're just a hot ticket, and I'm absolutely so glad we found each other.
Thank you.
The universe lines it up, right?
It does.
So tell us one more time where we can find you, and you have about 5 minutes to tell us whatever your heart desires.
Okay. CorbyMitlide.com website, Fire Through Spirit Facebook page, Corby Mitlide, that's where you'll find me on Pinterest, you will find me on Instagram, and you'll find me on Twitter. So the thing that I want to remind you is you got to keep a clear telescope. Okay, a clear telescope is making sure that you find the thing you want most and you can bring it into the world with complete clarity. You make sure that nothing gets in the way. You make sure that you believe that you can do it. You hang out with people who also have clear telescopes and they're looking at the stars. There are too many people who look at the mud, my darlings. We need people who look up and out and can grab people by the shoulder and go, "Will you look at that?" So that they see it isn't just mud. There are still stars to reach for. I know that's not 5 minutes, but that's as clear as I can make it.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, I hopped over to you. We have a caller on the line, and he is very concerned, and
yes.
I think you'll articulate this if you're willing to take a very hard question, not hard for you and I, but hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't believe that women can be reverends. He wants to know if you ate something, and is that what made you a reverend? yeah.
That's,
so, do you want to answer that?
Sure. What's his name?
I had no idea. He was really stuck on the fact that there are no female reverends in Mississippi, so he wants to know how you became one.
Okay, well, number one, I'm Episcopalian, and we've had women priests in there since the 70s. Number two, it is a non-denominational reverend, and I did it for two reasons, my friend. One of them is when I go in the South, yes, sometimes people will say, you're a devil worshiper, you're doing fortune telling. But when I say, no, I'm doing pastoral counseling, they say, oh, well, that's okay, Rev. The other thing was, before it was the law of the land, if I had friends who were same gender, batted for the same team, and they wanted sacred ceremony, I was going to do it. It's called being a hedge priest. You know, we may not have churches. We may not have big congregations. We may just walk the roads with our robes in a begging bowl. But if somebody needs to know that someone hears them, sees them, will help them reach up and talk to God in whatever form, that's my job. And I am a
universalist.
Order of Melchizedek. Yep. Yep.
I'm
mine,
a
mine came from Dan Chesbro.
Yep.
And
you know, I attend Unity Church.
Be,
so.
There you go. We don't have to be Catholics. They're, you know, female rabbis. There are female priests in the Episcopal Church and probably in other denominations too. So,
well, and I found that question really interesting. That he was very shocked that there would be a female reverend, and historically we've had female reverends all over the world for thousands of years. So,
mm-hmm.
Some people would call them priestesses, some people would call them reverends, some people would call them, you know, it's just an individual who is tapped in, turned up, and able to be guidance and support. You
Good
could
time.
Even consider your teachers as close to a reverend as possible.
You,
you can consider
and
that.
And look at doctor. You have doctors for the pancreas,
right.
And you have doctors for literature. They're both doctors.
Amen.
Is one right, one wrong? Nope. Title is title.
Yep. Title is a title, exactly. All right, so now that you were throwing that curveball, do you have anything else that you'd like to wrap up the show with? Because I think you're a treat. You're just this delicious treat, and I hope that everybody can squeeze just a little bit out of this and have a higher step.
Well, the best way, if you just want to read what I have to say, two books, you can get them on Amazon. One of them, Clean Out Your Life Closet, which is self-help, and the other is The Psychic Yellow Brick Road, How to Find the Real Wizards and Avoid the Flying Monkeys. And for that, I just tell people that psychic guidance is an art and you shouldn't settle for a forgery. Both of them are also in Kindle, and Life Closet has an audiobook that I did if you want to listen to it in your car. That's the best way to figure out who I am and what I think.
So, little trivia for you, because I don't know if you know much about me. My autobiography that I've written is having tea with my skeletons. And I also refer to pulling out each skeleton in my closet to clean house. So kind of funny.
I did not know that, but that is a gorgeous, gorgeous metaphor. I love that.
Yeah. Yep. And I really do. I pull out the skeleton that molested me as a child, and we sat down and we have tea, and I have a whole chapter about that process. And so it was really beautiful and healing. So it's nice to know that you have a book very similar.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been an absolutely wonderful interview. You didn't just stick to a list of questions. We looked at everything, and that always makes it a much more genuine dialogue.
Absolutely, and that's exactly how I like the show, because I want to know what's ooey-gooey on the inside of you, and I can't do that if I have a script. So, Reverend Corby, I absolutely adore you. You are fantastic. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep shining. Keep being ornery. Keep loving. And I hope to run into you again soon somewhere. You know, you write another book, let me know. Love to have you back on the show.
As we say in New York, darling, we got a deal. We'll talk. We'll have coffee.
All right, perfect. All right. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and we just had a great time with Reverend Corby. Her last name I cannot pronounce, but that's cool. You can see it right there. Go check out Fire Through Spirit. Go check out her website. Give her a call. She's bored. She's got to do something this weekend. So give her a call. Set up an appointment. I'm super excited about all the people that I get to meet on this journey and connect with and share with you a little bit of a nugget of other people's lives, their adventures, and how they get through their day and the musings of the process. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. Go out and do something amazing. Pay for somebody's coffee. Send somebody a cute little note and tell them how beautiful they are, but don't put your name on there. Make them wonder. Do something adventurous, exciting, and loving. And until next time, know that you're loved, know that I think you're beautiful, and know that I'm very grateful for you.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.